We need to be aware that we need to pour out our praise every day to Him for all the good things that He's done for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Need to be thankful. You may be seated. How many of you got your Bible or your device, your phone, iPad, or whatever? You got your Bible on? Don't you hold it up like this. Now say this with me. I'm who the Bible says I am. I have what the Bible says I have. I can do what the Bible says I can do. You know, that's a declaration you should make all the time. Actually, Brother John Osteen used to do that just about every time he took the pulpit. He would do that. But, you know, many people want to be somebody or want to do certain things. But you ever met a person that's always wanting to be, should be, could be, or going to be, you know? we need to realize who we are in Christ. And if you want a subject title, it's Who You Are in Christ. In Christ is one of the most important things that you can get a hold of as a Christian, to receive all the benefits that belong to you. Now, if you identify as an American citizen, then you're identifying as being in and a part of the USA, right? Yes. Now, because of that identity, there are certain rights and privileges that belong to you. Is that correct? Yes. Huh? You know, there can be other people can be here in our country, but if they're not a U.S. citizen, they don't have the same rights and privileges that you have. Is that correct? Yes. Come on. Are y'all there? Y'all gone home already? Well, I like feedback. You know that. So, it's important for us to understand about being in Christ. Now, one great Bible scholar has said, we cannot live our physical life unless we're in air and the air is in us. He went on to say this, unless we are in Christ and Christ is in us, we cannot live a life for God. See, we got to be in Christ, and then He's got to be in us. You know, the one there in John 15 says, if my words abide in you and you abide in me, you ask what you will, it shall be done. So, you know, when God sees us, He sees us through Christ, through His redemptive work. Christ was the perfect sacrifice, and by His blood that He shed on Calvary. And, when we think about that, you got to realize that in the old covenant, once a year, they brought in a lamb that was without spot or blemish, and they sacrificed that lamb, and they took the blood from that lamb, and they would rub it on the head of a goat and called it the scapegoat. And they would turn it loose into the desert, and then they would sacrifice that lamb there on the altar in the tabernacle area. And once a year they did that for a covering for sin. But when Jesus came and died on the cross, the Lamb of God became the one and only sacrifice, and we are cleansed from sin. We're not just covered. They were covered for a year, had to do it over again. But we are cleansed from sin. And in Galatians 2:20, it says that we were crucified with Christ. And Romans 6:4-5 tells us that we were buried with Christ. Ephesians 2:6 tells us that we arose with Christ at His resurrection. Ephesians 2:6 also tells us that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So, in the mind of God, we're in Christ, and through His redemptive work at Calvary, that's how God sees us. Christ's death became our death. His burial became our burial. His resurrection became our resurrection. Now, you know that when we're born again, immediately we're born again, the man on the inside is changed. But we have something we call water baptism. And that is where you're immersed in water and you come out of the water. That's what it's in that. It's an outward sign of something that's already happened. You go under the water. You're buried with Christ. You raise out of the water and you are resurrected with him. His righteousness becomes our righteousness. His ascension becomes our ascension. His seat becomes our seat. His victory becomes our victory. His life becomes our life. His blessing becomes our life. Everything, our blessing, everything that God gave to Christ now becomes available to you. Hello? Now, you know, in Romans it talks about through one man all sin, that was Adam. Through one man, Christ, all were justified. And one of the Bible scholars says it like this: just as all men sinned in Adam, so all men escaped from sin in Christ. And just as all men died in Adam, now that's not talking about physical death, that's talking about spiritual death. So all men conquered death in Christ. And that means spiritual death. You got to realize when you're looking in the Word of God and it says we were dead in our trespass and sin, you weren't dead, you're just alive. But you were dead spiritually. That's what it's talking about, spiritual death. And so our unity with Christ is just as real as our unity with Adam. This destroys the evil effect of the old. In Christ, everything that Adam lost is restored. In being born again, we have become a new person in Christ. Now, Adam became the mole for mankind. And what happened to him was passed on to us through Christ's redemptive act of Calvary. It was passed to us. Now, when I was going to Bible school down there at Waxahachie at Southwestern Assembly of God College, I worked in Dallas at the midnight shift at Plastics Manufacturing Company. And I had a mold there, and I made bowls, plastic bowls. It was called, I think it's called Texas Ware or something. They probably still do it. Anyway, I had these little, we called them pills. They were little round pieces of plastic, and I would just drop them on in the mold like that, and then it would come down on it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And I hit the switch. That mold would come together and squeeze that. And that mold was at 1,300 degrees Fahrenheit. And it was melt that and squeeze it together and form a bowl. Now, I had a quota to meet. So I didn't have time to look at those bowls. That was the finishing department. All I had time to do was take that little air gun and go, choo, 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 and set them down and let them go. Because I had a quota to make. If I didn't make that quota, when I come in the next night to go to work at 11 o'clock, I would have a little sticker on my time card that said, you didn't make quota last night. If you don't make it tonight, don't bother coming back. I'm serious. That's the truth. You know, I don't know if it's that way now or not. But now I'm working away one night, and all of a sudden the foreman come running over and shut it down, Hagen, shut it down. And I said, what? And he said, we got a crack in the mold. I said, oh, okay. So I shut the machine down. We had to turn it off, and I went and done something else for the rest of the night because it takes a long time for 1,300 degrees Fahrenheit to cool off. Where they could come in and change the mold. What happened? In that bottom mold there had become a crack. So when it squeezed that plastic down to make the mold, every bowl that was made in that mold had an image of that crack in it. Hello? So Adam became the mold for mankind. And so what he did in the Garden of Eden when he sinned against God, that he passed that all over. God kicked him out of the garden and so forth and so on. But now through Christ coming and dying on the cross, and we receive that by faith, then now we experience, we become, the mold is fixed. See, this mold, we're in trouble. This mold changes us. We are changed. Now, you got to believe who you are in Christ. You see, if you don't know who you are in Christ, you cannot experience all the benefits that belong to you in this word. If you don't know that something belongs to you, even though it's yours, you can't enjoy it. Am I right? See, all the time there in the Tulsa world, they probably do it over here in Oklahoma. Is that the name of the paper over here? What is it? Ever so often, there will be a little magazine type deal in the paper, and it's property that's unclaimed property. Anybody ever seen those in there? Or do you go look for your name? I always go look at the thing and see, if Raymond's name's on there, because we're all the time getting stuff that people leave to us and we don't even know it till a lawyer contacts us. But you see, if somebody had left you $1 million and you don't know about it, then you can't take advantage of it. If you, even though you're born again, if you don't know what belongs to you in Christ, you can't take advantage of it. Am I right or wrong?
Right.
Hello. See, now, anybody ever heard of a guy by the name of Charles Spurgeon? He was a great English preacher. One day he was visiting a sick elderly lady. She lived in a one-room shack. And it was so frigid cold in there that she had to lay in the bed covered up with blankets to try to keep her warm. She was malnourished. She didn't have enough to eat. And as he glanced around the room, he noticed a document hanging on the wall. And he asked the woman about it. And she told him that it was an appreciation letter from an English noble lady that she had worked for nearly half a century. The aged woman could not read, so Spurgeon asked if he could take the letter to a lawyer whose name was on the document and let him assess this letter. When he took it to the lawyer said, "We've been looking for this document. It's part of the last will and testament of the lady, the woman that had worked for. And she had bequeathed to that lady a beautiful house and monthly allowance. And now here she's living in poverty whenever she could have been living in luxury. But she didn't know it. She didn't know. She didn't read. She couldn't read. She didn't know what the document said. In our daily living, I want you to tell you that there be many challenges come to us. But if we understand and know who we are in Christ, we can overcome the enemy every time."
Amen.
You know. Now let's go here. Turn to Galatians 2:20. I want everybody to turn there. If you don't have it marked in your Bible, you need to mark. We are crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, some people are saying that they need to die to sin. No, you don't. You've already been crucified with Christ. So all you need to do is begin to believe who you are in Christ. Then it says we are a new creation in Christ. Now go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're going to do a little going through the Word of God here. So stay with me. And if you don't have these scriptures marked, you need to mark these scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." It doesn't say should be, want to be, trying to be a new person in Christ. It says you are a new person in Christ. See, it says I am. The moment you become born again, you are a new person in Christ. And it doesn't matter if you've been in Christ for 25 years or been in Christ for 25 minutes. the same things belong to you because of who you are in Christ.
Yes.
Hello?
Amen.
You know, some people think because they've been born again for a long time that they have more right standing with God than somebody that just got. No, everybody is the same. Now, we can increase our faith. The Bible says that. But once you're born again, you're born again. Hello. Now it says in Romans 3, 21, 22, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. See, I'm just going through here telling you who you are in Christ. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, for there is no difference. Now, sometimes Romans is a little hard to understand. I want to read it from the Message version. Maybe that'll help us a little bit. But in our time, something new has been added. What Moses and the prophets witnessed to all those years has happened. The God setting things right that we read about has become Jesus setting things right for us. And not only for us, but for everyone who believes in him. For there is no difference between us and them in this. Christ paid the penalty for our sins. And there's no difference. They had to sacrifice the lamb, put the blood on it. But Christ died and his shed his blood on Calvary. And there's a fountain, there's a song we sing, and all of you know, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. Amen? See, he paid the penalty for sin. Now, look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. Go back there to 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus didn't sin. He took sin. He took the penalty. You know, there in the Garden of Eden where he was praying, Gethsemane, and he was praying there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass, but if not, not my will, yours be done. And that was the cup of sin that he was drinking there. He became sin. He did not sin. He became sin for us so that we could become righteous. Now, you're justified by faith, according to Romans 3:24. Now, you might want to turn there and mark that. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ. Then in Romans 8, 16 and 17. I'm going a little fast, but I want to get through this. You are children and heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. See, all of those. Let's go back and pick that up. And here we are. We are crucified with Christ. We are a new creation in Christ. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Hello?
Yes, amen.
Our sin was taken by him, and that we might become righteous. We are justified by faith. See, Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. And then here it talks about that we are children, joint heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So now all of these things. Now turn in your Bible over to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter. Anybody getting anything out of this? Who we are in Christ is vitally important. All right, Ephesians 1. Now here, this is talking about who you are in Christ right now. Okay, Ephesians 1:3 says, we are blessed in heavenly places in Christ. Fourth verse. We are chosen in him. You see it there? The fifth verse. Now we are adopted by Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will. We are adopted. If you've ever studied in law, an adopted person into a family has the same rights as a blood person of that family. Ephesians 1:6 says, we are now accepted. Ephesians 1:7 says, we are now redeemed through the blood of Jesus. Now jump to verse 13, and it tells us we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sealed. How many of you have ever had a car transaction or a house or something, and you had to have a notary seal on there? Amen. Usually, yeah, they put it over where you signed your name. That means it is a done, signed document. Nothing can change it. Hello? That's what it says. Then we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to learn to make daily confessions of who we are in Christ. It's important. If we don't continue to remind ourselves who we are in Christ as we live this life and all the pressures and circumstances and situations come in and come at us, we can lose our focus on who we really are in Christ. But when you really understand who you are in Christ and you keep those confessions in front of your face, then when the devil challenges you, you can immediately respond with, no, no, I'm in Christ. You can't do that to me. Amen? See, but now I'm going to tell you, he'll challenge you. He'll challenge you, that's for sure. You know, my dad used to say this, and it's a true fact. You can't rise any higher in life than your confessions of who you are in Christ. Any of you that have heard him preach, ever heard him say that? If you've heard him preach, he said that. And it's the truth. What we have in Christ and what we can do through Christ comes by us making the confession of who we are in Christ. See, when we confess who we are in Christ, it enables us to possess everything that we're entitled to. You know, you need to tell the devil who you are. Amen. When he comes at you. Say, you know who I am? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Why are you messing with me? My daughter, some of you have met her. She's been over here before. But when she was about 5 years old, my office is here. My dad's office was over here. That's changed now. Now his was over there and mine was on this side. But this was many years ago. Because of what? About 40 years ago, I guess. Almost, yeah. Because she's 44, isn't she? So she is about 5 years old. She's running down the hall, coming down, either going to my office or Pawpaw's, one of the two. And somebody there said, little girl, you can't run down the hall. She whirled around. And you have to know her. She's real pretty like her mom, but she's geared like her dad. Very much so. And she looked him straight in the face and said, do you know who I am? And turned around and took off running. See, she knew who she was. Her name was Hagen. And she knew that her dad's office is here and her pawpaw's there and that they run this outfit. And so as far as she's concerned, because of who she was, she could run down the hall if she wanted to. Help me understand what I'm saying to you. Hey, if we know who we are in Christ, we can run down the hall if we want to. Because of who we are. We need to when the devil comes and challenges us, we need to look at him and say, hey, you know who we are? Hey, you know who you're messing with? Come on. Anybody with me here? Come on now. See, when you really understand who you are in Christ, you position yourself into a secure and stable position, and the enemy can't take advantage of you. Hello. What I wanted to get across to you tonight is that you need to establish your position in Christ. Hello. How do you do that? By believing and confessing. Okay, now, you got to be bold about it. Now, how many of you in here are born again? Let me see your hands. Yeah, we're born again. Yeah, all of us. So, I want us all to stand. And I want you to make this confession after me. Say it with me. Say it. I am crucified with Christ.
I am crucified with Christ.
I'm a new creation in Christ.
I'm a new creation in Christ.
I am a child of God.
A member of the family of God.
I'm heir of God. And joint heir with Jesus Christ.
I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus.
I'm blessed with all spiritual blessing.
In heavenly places.
I am chosen by Him.
I'm adopted by Him.
I am accepted by Him.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ.
I am justified by faith.
I am sealed with the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. Put your hands up and thank God for who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. I don't know about you, but I done preached me happy. Hallelujah. You know, we need to, it's important that you confess who you are in Christ. If not, the enemy will get you down. I don't know how many scriptures in there talk about in Christ. There's a little book out there called In Him, and it has all the scriptures. Yeah, there, let me have that, Glenn. It's a little book in there, out there. Dad put this together many years ago from his teachings. And it actually has a little bit of it's our confession rules and rules us. It has a little bit of his teaching in there. And then it has the scriptures back here, all that are, that it has all these scriptures listed. You don't have to go hunt them. He's got them already listed there. In Christ, in Him, in the Beloved, in the Lord, in whom, by Christ, by Him, by Himself. By His blood, by whom, from whom, of Christ, of Him, through Christ, through Him, with Christ, with Him, by, in me, in my love, in His name. All of these scriptures are there. And, you know, you need to, it's 100 and something of them, I think. But you don't need to do all of them, but just do one or two a day confessing who you are in Christ. Amen. You know, that one of the things that I do just about every morning when I'm getting ready, I say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I make that confession. Amen. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I make those kind of confessions just sometime during the day, every day. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. Hey, you need to make those kind of confessions. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I believe we got some people that anybody want to receive healing. If you come down here, we're going to pray for you for healing right now. The Word of God says that by His stripes we are healed. The woman with the issue of blood said, if I can touch His clothes, I shall be whole. But I want you to notice that that he said power went out of him when she touched him. But I want you to notice that he didn't say my power healed you. He said your faith healed you. What we need to understand is our faith is what activates that power. Our believing God is what activates that power. Hallelujah to Jesus. Anybody? That's all right. I'll come to her. Just let her stay there. Anybody else want to be prayed for healing tonight besides this lady right here? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Cancer, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I command every cancer cell in this body to die and dry up and leave this body. I thank you for complete healing of this body in Jesus' name. I thank you for it now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for complete healing in the name of Jesus, Ernie, right now. Thank you for healing for Janet right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I pray for a lady in Anaheim, California. They brought her in on the stretcher. She had it all hooked up to the machines. They said she wasn't going to live through the. That was about 2:00 in the afternoon. I was doing the afternoon service, and they said she wouldn't live through to midnight. And this was about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And they rolled her out like she came in. But the story is that she just began to amend from that time on. She just began to get better and better and better. 6 weeks later, she walked out of the hospital completely cancer free. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep saying, I thank God that the power of God's working in my body to affect the healing and the cure. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Thank you, Jeff. First time guest. We got some special gifts for you. If you'll go with Miss Jane and Jeff, go with Jeff there. They'll take you to there and give you this special gift that we put for you. We're glad to have you. Praise God. Coming back again. Amen. Well, next Sunday right here, 6 o'clock, same thing's going to happen again. We're going to do it all over again. Praise God. Hey, listen, if you want to look at any of the telecasts or podcast radio, you go to rhema.org. You can go there in the archives. You can watch our television broadcast, Rhema Praise. You can download the Rhema podcast there and listen to the Rhema radio there. Oh, yeah, Winter Bible Seminar is on there. If you didn't get to come, you want to see Winter Bible, you can go. It's right there on the computer. It'll play the whole service there for you, whichever service you want to see. It'll be there. All you got to do is click on it, and you can get it. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. All right, well, we'll see you next week. Let me get over here to the door. I'll shake hands with you as you go out. Miss Lynette will go one door. I'll go the other. Amen. God bless you.